tonight, the first of our speakers is Abby.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Charlie. My name's Abby and I'm an addict.
Hi, Abby.
Oh my gosh. Oh, dear me. My heart is pounding. I'm sweating and massively regretting wearing fake leather trousers because I can't cross my legs and I'm stuck to the chair. Anyway, privileged to be asked to chair this meeting. I feel like I've suddenly got some sort of social acceptance in NA and that I've climbed some sort of social ladder being asked to do a chair here. My story is that I went to my first NA meeting in 1991. I was a 13-year-old teenager at the time, and I celebrated 2 years clean yesterday. So basically my story is that I have known about Narcotics Anonymous for a long time. I knew about NA before I knew I had a problem in any way, shape or form. I was introduced to it by my mother, who had just come out of treatment. My mother will be 23 years clean next month. And, I came to NA, I sat here, I looked around, you were all really old and weird, and you talked in a weird language, and as far as I was concerned, you didn't use like me. You were just a lightweight as far as I was concerned. I knew best, and that I was, I kind of made a pact with myself that I was never going to stop taking drugs, because if I did, I'd have to come back here. It was apparent to my family, to my school that I was expelled from at that age, that I had a problem. I was convinced that, it was what I wanted to do, and, they tried, bless them, to help me at that age. I know I had drug counsellors, I had psychiatrists, I had... I was taken to a treatment centre and tried to sort of scare me into it, told that I was an addict and that they gave me 10 years if I hadn't died that I would be in treatment. And 11 years after that meeting, I walked into that treatment centre. Thankfully, the person that I'd spoken to had retired by then, so I didn't have to get him. I loved drugs, I really did. I loved the culture, I loved... what they did. I loved, it was in the 90s, it was the rave scene, and, I was convinced that was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I was going to take drugs, I was going to dance for the rest of my life, and it was never going to end, and it was all going to be amazing, and anybody that had a 9-to-5 job, anybody that had a mortgage, anybody that had 2.4 children... was an idiot as far as I was concerned, and it was never going to be me. And how it ended up 11 years ago, the first time I went into treatment when I was 24, I'd got to the point, I had a small child, and my using had got to the point where I was standing on a street corner selling my body to buy crack and heroin, neglecting myself, neglecting my child, and it was an apparent mess. My family again stepped in, and I was put into my first treatment centre. And kind of cutting a long story short, the last 9 years, up until 2 years ago, is a kind of cycle of me going into treatment, getting clean, picking up a relationship, pretty much straight away. And coming out of treatment, not doing as I'm told, knowing best, and eventually picking up again. What basically happened is that my last relapse ended just over 2 years ago, with me in my flat on my own. I'd started university by this point because I'd had clean time and done some courses, and I was at university that day. I was in the toilets of the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama, having a hit in my groin, and then going to a lecture and thinking, maybe this is possibly not right. I got home that night. I spent the last £15 of my student loan and the money that I'd earned from, you know, work from working or whatever, and decided that the best thing that I could do was to hang myself, because I couldn't come back to NA. I couldn't tell my family, who thought I was 3 years clean at that point. You know, I didn't see any other the way out of it. I'd been to NA, I'd had sponsors, I'd worked steps, I'd done all this stuff, and I was just convinced that there was no way out for me. So I tried to hang myself, and obviously that didn't work, because I had drank a lot of special brew and drank a lot of methadone and put on a lot of weight, and the rope snapped. So... And I hit the floor in the cupboard in my kitchen, and cried and sat there. I then looked up to my kitchen ceiling and said, "God, if you exist and if you're there, what? I'm not allowed to swear. What the fuck? Do I do now? I can't even kill myself." And you know what I heard. Obviously, I didn't hear God, because that's schizophrenia, so I was concerned if you hear something. But what I felt was that I should just go to sleep. The next day, somebody that I'd used with, an ex-partner, rang me to see how I was. I told him what had happened the night before, and he told me to ring the Crisis Detox Centre in Angel, which I did. And I went in there, and I detoxed, and I came out. And the last 2 years... I'd like to say would have been massively different from all my attempts before, but I wouldn't. My behaviour probably hasn't changed that much. But what has changed is that I got myself a sponsor, and I started to work the steps. And what I realised was that my dishonesty was the thing that took me out every time. It wasn't about who I was sleeping with. It wasn't about where I was going. It wasn't about where. It was the fact that I was lying to myself and to everybody else about what I was doing. And, you know, and that dishonesty backed me into a corner every time, where I would be in so much pain and in so much shame that I couldn't tell anybody where I was at, because as far as everyone else was concerned, I was, again, like I was when I was younger, convinced that I knew best and I knew what I was doing. And, you know, and what happened for me this time was I realised that I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know all the answers, and that perhaps you lot could help me in some way. And, you know, so I started to work the steps. You know, I picked up a relationship, 15 days clean, straight away, and then got rid of that one, got another one. I have been out of a relationship for over a year now. I wouldn't cheer just yet. I wouldn't say I've been abstinent in that area, but I have been in a relationship. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But, you know what, I'm currently just starting my step 9. And through the process of me working the steps and being honest, having a wonderful sponsor who I love dearly, that I am able to be honest with, who spends most of the time laughing at the things that I try and tell her that I want to do, or that I've done, generally, more than what I want to do. You know, but I have that ability to tell someone else exactly what I'm feeling. I also have some lovely friends, two of whom are sitting in this room over there, that I can ring up and tell them the insanity that is in my head, and they listen and they laugh at me again, generally. You know, and things have changed massively. You know, I don't... The drug thing, you know, I know now 100%, I haven't got... You know, there isn't just one, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to use, and that is a miracle in itself. I don't want to take drugs anymore. You know, and I don't want to feel that feeling that I've had all my life, that despite... You know, I was always in with the popular kids. I was always, you know, I did loads of whatever. You know, outwardly, everybody thought I was this really confident, loud-mouthed, gobby girl. And internally, I just felt like an alien that had just landed. And it was like, who are these people? What is going on? But was never able to... to voice it ever. Never thought that anyone would understand, that if I said something, I don't know, thought the world would probably fall apart or something, I don't know. But, you know, I'm able to to talk about that stuff these days, and to be able to look at the, you know, that girl that, you know, does stuff because she is desperate to be loved, desperate to be liked, desperate to be accepted, you know, and be part of something, and, you know, and I am part of NA, as much as it irritates me at times. I am part of NA, thank you. yeah, so 5 minutes. Yeah, like I said, I come to NA regularly. I work the steps, I have a sponsor, I do what's suggested, and I pray. Oh, there we go. It's very simple, really. And I've made it really, really difficult. And, you know, you don't have to, for the newcomer in the room, you don't have to make it difficult for yourself. You know, what I've learned is that I have to live in my skin, I have to live in my body, and what anybody else thinks of that is none of my business. And actually, I'm the one that has to go to sleep at night, you know, in my head, which is where I live quite a lot of the time. So, you know, it's down to me and, you know, not anybody else. And, you know, my life is, I know I've stayed at university, I'm in my final year. I've just been away working in a prison in Doncaster, delivering drama workshops and directing a play up there. And yeah, I would much rather get you to all stand on your feet and do a drama workshop than be sitting here talking to you about my life. But yeah, you know, and it's just the most amazing thing. I never knew what I wanted to, well, I knew I wanted to take drugs and wanted to dance. You know, now I get to get prisoners to dance. which is genius. And I getting a bunch of grown men to dance to Bonnie Tyler, is, you have to be there to see it, it's the most homoerotic thing you've ever seen in your life. You know, and I also in that project, I was able to tell some of those prisoners that I am a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I was able to tell them what NA is, because a lot of them have absolutely no idea what NA is and think it's something to do with probation and professionals and whatever. And, you know, being somebody that, you know, I being the first person they'd ever met in their life that had got clean before, you know, it felt really amazing to be able to do that and to be able to go to meetings up there and speak to the male members of NA up there and get them to take NA into that prison again, because it hasn't been there for a while, and hopefully that will, you know, and I feel an enormous sense of pride in that. You know, I'm about to, you know, I have, my daughter is now nearly 15 years old. She doesn't live with me, she lives with her father, which is obviously a consequence of my using. But she is in my life and she's coming to stay with me for Christmas. And, you know, and I'm able to be there for my child. You know, when she was a small, she went without, and now she doesn't have to anymore. And I owe my life and my daughter's life to NA. And the work that I've done, because I'm not going to give you all the credit, I'm actually going to take some credit for myself because I've put the work in. But yeah, anyway, it's lovely to be here, I think, and I'll leave it there.
Thank you.